You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
All right, round one is in the books. 32 picks are down. Plenty of surprise and intrigue from the first round as we welcome you to our first round recap here on Move the Sticks. Alongside Bucky Brooks, I am Rhett Lewis. Obviously, DJ just getting off the desk live in Detroit. Bucky and I were on Draft Center coverage as well on a variety of platforms on the NFL channel. We'll be back on that 7 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow for rounds 2 and 3. But you know what's interesting, Buck? This thing was chalk early on. Just kind of how we had pegged it. Obviously, there had been some last minute buzz and whatnot that caused a little bit of maybe some change on some last minute mock drafts. But quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3. Marvin, 4. We got an offensive lineman at 5 and Joe Alt. And man, things kind of started moving the train down the tracks early.
Yeah, no, this is it's really unbelievable. Like a lot of times when we talk about mock drafts, they're blown up within the first 5 picks because of trade and those things. But this went off according to plan. You think about the first 3 quarterbacks coming off the board, the receivers going where we expected them to go. And then, like, even the tackle, Joe Alt going exactly where we expect him to go. So,
yeah,
it is unusual
for
the mock draft to be so predictive of what the real draft does. But
sure,
this year, we got a little break.
Yep. Caleb, Jaden, Drake go 1, 2, 3. So, we get quarterbacks off for the fourth time in the common draft era. But for the first time in the common draft era, 6 quarterbacks go in the first 12 picks. Fastest we've ever seen 6 quarterbacks come off the board, aided in large part by the surprise of the night, bar none, Michael Penix Jr. from Washington going to the Atlanta Falcons, who just gave a bag to Kirk Cousins in free agency. So Penix goes to 8, and here's how DJ saw it from the desk in Detroit.
And this is a huge arm. You see Joe Flacco's name on the bottom. The way the ball spins out of his hand, it is very reminiscent of Joe Flacco. And you talk about Justin Herbert just spinning the football. It is ridiculous with his arm strength. This is from the Texas game, attacking over the top down the field. He can play on top of the coverage. This was a question mark. In the Texas game, he answered it. His ability to navigate around some pressure, move around within the pocket. Look at this placement to Rome Odunze down the field. Beautiful ball. Again, outside the numbers, he's fantastic. Over the top, he's fantastic. And when you need to fit the ball in tight windows, watch him beat the safety with this throw. Again, it looks like he's throwing a Nerf ball.
Yeah.
He has got a ridiculous arm. Now, there's injuries. That's something that some teams were concerned about. His 4 seasons at Indiana all ended in injury.
But the last 2 years,
he's been healthy the last 2 years, and he's played out of his mind. But this is fascinating because we were talking about he's a little bit older.
Yeah.
Do you want to get him on the field? He's not getting on the field with Kirk Cousins in that contract right now.
Okay, so and according to both DJ and Mike Garofolo, who tweeted this out recently, the Kirk Cousins camp was given about 3 minutes forewarning from the Atlanta Falcons that this was happening. Never came up in conversation surrounding Kirk joining the team. They called him when the Falcons were on the clock saying that this was going to happen. Initial reaction, Penix to the Falcons. What do you got?
So we have to attack it from a few different angles. One, I think Michael Penix Jr. was certainly worthy of being in that conversation when all those quarterbacks were there. I had him as my 4th quarterback in the top 5, right behind Drake May. Loved his game at UW. We talked about him being an aggressive big play hunter. You obviously watched him firsthand when he was at Indiana. This is a guy that had kind of he's lifted programs and franchises before, so I thought he had that kind of ability. You saw him at UW the last 2 years. He was terrific. The Atlanta Falcons were a bit of a surprise team in the first round. I thought maybe in the second round he would kind of slide out and that would be the pick. Kirk Cousins is, he's in the twilight of his career, and I knew they broke him off and gave him a big bag, but you're thinking 2 years max that he would be the starter. This gives the Falcons like a clear succession plan to have a quarterback. And we always talk about quarterback is the most important position. Got to have a quarterback. You have to have this. But then we get mad when teams take quarterbacks early when they have somebody. But it's the hardest thing to do is when you have a void at quarterback.
Yeah.
You're now beholden to what the class brings. And you just don't know what 2025, what 2026 was going to bring. So to me, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, I think they were proactive in making sure that, hey, let's make sure we got the quarterback position solidified for the next 5 to 6 years. And then we can figure out how to build the rest of the team up.
And they're pretty good on offense as it sits, based off the fact they took an offensive skill position player in the top 10 each of the last three drafts. Still go offense in the top 10. It just ends up being the quarterback. They'll probably end up on defense once they get into rounds 2 and 3. Defense was an interesting trend point in this year's first round. We set another record on that side of the ball. Did not get a defensive player off the board until Leiatu Latu, the edge rusher. Many had kind of pegged as the third edge rusher off the board, mostly because of medical. Medically retired at Washington, transferred to UCLA, blew up, 23.5 sacks. He goes to the Indianapolis Colts as the first defender off the board at 15. How's that strike you?
It strikes me. I thought he was the number one edge rusher in this class. He was the most polished pass rusher of the guys that were vying for it between him, Dallas Turner, and Jared Verse. When you watch him on tape, first step quickness, burst, he has all of those things. With the Indianapolis Colts, to me, it's a great fit because Gus Bradley doesn't want to bring pressure. He wants to rely on the front four to be able to get home. He wants to put those guys in wide alignments and allow them to have two-way goals on edge blockers. Well, Latu can do that. Latu has every move that you can think in the toolbox. To me, it works out. The only thing that could have this go awry would be the medical situation.
Yeah.
If he's not able to kind of hold up and play to his potential due to injury. But as a player, he certainly is worthy of being the first defender to come off the board.
Yeah, I know he had a little bit of a run. Byron Murphy goes to the Seahawks. Dallas Turner ends up to the Vikings at 17. They traded up, so they were part of both of the first two trades. Remember, they had the first trade that netted them J.J. McCarthy, moved up one spot with the Jets to make sure they got the Michigan man there. And then, you know, I'm just kind of looking. Chop Robinson ends up going. We start the tackles kind of come off the board. We get 8 tackles go in the first round. But, man, I thought it really got interesting. You know, the corners went a little bit later. Quinyon Mitchell ends up going at 22 to the Eagles, first one off. Lions trade up, get Terrion Arnold. But I thought the most intriguing picks of you know, the back half of the round came with the last two picks. The Niners, maybe a little foreshadowing at what we see happen with their wide receiver room, take a wideout, not A.D. Mitchell. It's Ricky Pearsall.
I think this is Kyle Shanahan's reply to the way that teams were playing them. One of the things that I tweeted out, I caught some flack for it. I felt like the San Francisco 49ers had playmakers, not route runners. And in games when teams were able to play man-to-man, they had problems getting away. In the Super Bowl, they couldn't get away from the corners in man-to-man when you couldn't use the threat of play action and those things. And even though Brandon Ayuk is a much better route runner in my mind than Deebo Samuel, they still needed someone that can get open and win those one-on-ones. Ricky Pearsall is a dynamic route runner. He is terrific working and creating separation from defenders at the top of routes. He's a fantastic ball catcher. He's a playmaker with the hand when he gets it on the move. So he does all of the things that the Niners require their wide receivers to do, but I think he's an upper echelon route runner. To me, this might signal that Brandon Ayuk is on his way out the door and they're replacing him with a route runner in similar company in terms of being able to create space and get open, because Deebo Samuel is a get the ball, get open, get out the way. Brandon Ayuk was a designated route runner. Ricky Pearsall could fill that void if they move on from Brandon Ayuk.
Incredible athlete, 42-inch vert, 4.4, a 40-yard dash time at the combine, blew up there. And obviously nobody blew up more than Xavier Worthy at the combine, who does go in the first round. Chiefs trade up from 32 to get him at 28. So it went Xavier Worthy was the 5th wide receiver off the board, Pearsall the 6th. And then we got a 7th. Pick 32, which originally was the Chiefs, then the Bills, then it's the Panthers who come up one spot from day 2 to day 1 and make Xavier Leggett the seventh wide receiver off the board in night one. So real intriguing pick there. A big physical, fast receiver, you know, gives the Carolina Panthers just something that they didn't have, which was a go-to dude, a guy that blew up at South Carolina this year. So big moves by that new regime there at Carolina to make that move up. It actually didn't cost them that much. Essentially swapped a fifth and sixth rounder to move up from day two to day one. Plus, they get the extra fifth year option on Leggett.
Well, yeah, I think it's more so about getting the player that you want.
Of course.
There's obvious that Dan Morgan and Drew Canales had a plan, or they have a plan for how they want their wide receiver core to look and how they want to help elevate Bryce Young. And Xavier Leggett, you get a big body playmaker, a guy who had a breakout season a year ago. Look, he can handle it in the deep area portion of the field, but also being able to catch the ball on the move, break tackles, a physical presence.
Yeah.
We think about what they're trying to do. Deontay Johnson comes over. You had Adam Thielen, who was really terrific for them last year, but you needed a younger presence. And maybe Jonathan Mingo can make a jump this year.
Sure.
But they just wanted to make sure they had a big body playmaker on the perimeter that can expand the strike zone for the young quarterback, Bryce Young.
Okay, just a look at some intriguing picks there to us. When we come back here on Move the Sticks, we'll get you our day one winners and biggest surprises from day one right after this here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Okay, so a lot of intriguing picks there. Day one winners. I'll kick this off. I don't see, and I'll take the low-hanging fruit here. I don't see how you look anywhere beyond the Chicago Bears, who get their quarterback wide receiver combo of the future, pair it up, Odunze at nine to pair with Caleb Williams at one, and now you throw out 11 personnel. Oh, man. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, got to have that, and they support their young quarterback with the ninth pick. So big time opportunity there for Chicago to turn the tide on offense. You got another day one winner?
Well, I do have another day one winner, and I'm going to stay right there in the division, the NFC North. Let's go with the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings were able to get the quarterback of the future in J.J. McCarthy, and then they come right back at Dallas Turner. And J.J. McCarthy, they get a winner. They get someone who's a proven winner, a selfless player. And I think that's really important for Kevin O'Connell in terms of the locker room, making sure that someone fits in, low ego player, a guy that is really just about the dub. So I like that part of it. But then to be able to get Dallas Turner, when no one speculated, no one really thought that he would be available in the teens, they're able to get him in Brian Flores' defense, which is an aggressive attack style defense where he will create opportunities for Turner to have one-on-one on the outside. Great move. You come into the draft saying, hey, we want to make sure we get the quarterback, get an edge rusher. They were able to check out both boxes. They nailed it.
Biggest surprises from day one. I imagine you're with me on this when we talked about, you know, Penix. I mean, that's low hanging fruit, right? We nailed that. Wow. Brock Bowers, 13 to the Raiders, who took a tight end at 35 last year, and Michael Mayer. I mean, there wasn't a pick in this draft that screamed, we're taking the best player available on our board more than Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce going to get the number one tight end in the class.
And, you know, everyone theorizes about, oh, we're going to take the best player available. But it always happens that the pick matches the biggest need. The Raiders didn't have a need at tight end, but they took the best player. And I would imagine if we were in the Raiders draft room, we were looking at the board, Brock Bowers was head and shoulders above everybody else that was available at that pick. So for them to take him means to me that Tom Telesco would say, hey, let's just put together the best roster that we can put together. And then it's on the coaches to figure out a way to play him. Even though they took Michael Mayer a year ago.
Yeah.
Now you talk about a terrific two tight end package that will allow them to run the football, which is difficult to match up with from a defensive standpoint. And if you're going to play the season with Garner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, okay, we got to figure out a way to lighten the load of responsibility on them. The 12 personnel could allow them to be a more physical team, a little more traditional when it comes to running. so they don't have to throw it 35 to 40 times a game.
Yeah, I sure thought when the quarterbacks were gone, you know, if Penix wasn't there, that, you know, maybe they might shift their focus to offensive tackle. Had some good ones out there. Fuanga, Fatanu, you know, that whole crew was still available, but end up going Bowers.
I bet you they had Bowers rated probably as a top five player.
Yeah.
And must so have. It was such a huge difference between him and the other guys that you just can't pass it up if that's your philosophy to take the best player available.
All right, there you go. That's a quick little rapid fire reacts to the first round of the NFL draft. We, of course, will be back with you tomorrow here on Move the Sticks as we work through rounds 2 and 3. Bucky and I will be with you on the NFL channel, which you can find on your favorite free ad-supported television platform or, of course, at NFL.com/NFL channel to watch digitally as well. That's going to do it for us here on Move the Sticks, but back with you tomorrow to give you our rapid reacts after rounds 2 and 3.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.